Hello, this is Mike Arrington. I have Mayor Cory Booker of Newark, New Jersey on the phone with me today. Mayor Booker has made improving the lives of Newark citizens a priority in his administration, and he continues to live in some of the most challenged neighborhoods in the city. He's also expanded greatly a surveillance program called Community Eye that is going to be the subject of our talk today. Mayor Booker, welcome to TechCrunch.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on.
So let's start by, you became mayor in July of 2006. You're a couple of years in now to your four-year term. I'd love to hear, it sounds like right away when you became mayor, you started thinking about how surveillance might help some of the crime problems in your city. Can you talk about the Community Eye initiative, what it was when you started as mayor and what it's become since then?
Sure. There was not really any kind of coordinated camera program whatsoever. There may have been some, a few cameras out, but they weren't. There was no monitoring. There was no really substantive strategic approach to using them. And we realized right away that, one, from looking at other cities and trying to learn from successes that from internationally to here in America, there was a lot of mayors or security leaders that talked about cameras as a positive thing. And I knew we had to get more police on the streets, but we also had to find things that were force multipliers, ways of spreading out our police force in a way that gave us dramatically more coverage in preventing crime, reacting to crime, and adequately responding with emergency resources. So we began to explore the use of cameras. The first thing we did was use a local UEZ program, Urban Enterprise Zone program, to fund some cameras. But again, they were expensive, and I inherited a city that had a tremendous budget deficit. So I was trying to figure out ways to fund more cameras. We had already started a police foundation, which was critical for helping us with key technology advancements from just getting computers into police cars or into precincts to other more cutting-edge things. And then it also funded our anonymous hotlines, our tip lines for people to call in and let people know, hey, let the police know, I know somebody's carrying an illegal gun or I know some information about a crime, and get up to $2,000 as a result of that. So we had a void to try to meet my dream of having a huge wireless network for cameras,
mm-hmm.
something else called gunshot detectors, which means if a gun goes off within the zone, we would be able to identify it within seconds where it was geographically.
And those are separate devices, right? You have surveillance cameras, and then the gunshot detection system is a separate device?
Exactly. So
okay.
This was a dream for us, what we thought would be a dramatic game changer, a force multiplier, but we had no way of funding it. And we were able to turn a terrible tragedy into a real community coalition to get this funding that we needed. And so when the three children were murdered, college children were murdered here in Newark almost exactly a year ago, we really called out to the community at a time that many people were looking for answers and said that this isn't the answer, but it is definitely a set of tools that could help us make a significant difference in our fight against crime.
So at the time of the murders, there were actually video cameras in the area, but they were broken. Is that right?
Right. Well, they weren't. Again, it wasn't city property. It was the school district's buildings, and they had some cameras, but they weren't. They weren't being monitored, and they were broken indeed.
They were standard security cameras, and what you're talking about is and maybe you could go into a little bit of detail the cameras that you're installing, because I understand they're wireless. They stream the video, which is high quality, to a central police station, and it's being monitored in real time. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. But these are not your standard security cameras. These are high resolution, night vision capability, the ability to go over great distances, many miles, in fact. Some of the cameras we have mounted in the downtown district can read the tail numbers off of airplanes miles away, so at the airport. So these are some of the highest, most state-of-the-art cameras that have revolution capabilities. In other words, they can move around, focus in and get, read the name off of an ID badge. It's pretty impressive technology.
Does that mean they could be controlled remotely as well from police officers at the station?
Exactly. Our monitoring station has numerous police officers as well as trained civilians who sit and monitor the cameras but have full control over them as well. And we've been seeing remarkable, remarkable successes coming out of the cameras.
So how many cameras? It sounds like you've actually come a long way towards getting to the funding you needed. You need, is it a total of $3.2 million for the second phase of this? And then
a total of $3.2 million for the wireless network, for the cameras, as well as the gunshot detection devices.
And how many cameras are we talking about?
Well, we're hoping that this will be rolling out cameras for a while. We've got the first 109 cameras up in about a 7 to 8 square mile area, and we don't want to stop there. We realize that they're such powerful tools that if we can, the more we can get up, the more we can undermine crime in communities, and ultimately begin to make criminals realize that they do something that they're going to get caught, either through traditional policing methods, through cameras, or some of the other things we're deploying. And once there's that knowledge, you begin to have people not as confident to carry a gun or to do something illegal out in the broad daylight. And what happened in New York, and we've talked to a lot of the criminologists involved in that effort, was it got to a point where the brazenness of criminals, gang members, drug dealers out in the streets was so undermined that they eventually drove a lot of the effort efforts to deal these drugs away completely or indoors. Driving things underground takes away a lot of the violence that's associated with drug dealing and narcotics. And we've realized the majority of our shootings are narcotics related. So if you drive the narcotics trade underground, and still we still have narcotics division that deals with major investigations, but just by getting people off street corners, stop having the narcotics folks carry guns because they realize it's a high cost in doing so, eventually we're going to hit a tipping point in Newark where we're going to see not just the dramatic reductions we're having now, but just spectacular reductions and begin to give the residents the sense of security that they deserve.
If you look at, you said you have 109 cameras now. Were those installed, was it around May or by May?
They began to roll out almost immediately after the summer, after the August that we had that terrible problem. So they've been rolling out slowly since then. And now, as of this May, June, we had, actually the end of May, early June, we had the full 109 up.
So in the 7 to 8 square miles that those cameras cover, what types of results have you seen in the crime rate?
Well, you know, we've experienced a dramatic overall decrease in violent crime. We're pretty much the number one city in America right now for violent crime reductions in 2008, with a 40% reduction in murder, double-digit reduction in shootings. That is, you know, you can't, it's sort of an unassailable result that we've had through a collection of our tools and strategies. So to measure precisely what one strategy does is very difficult. But the anecdotal evidence of the cameras, story after story, week after week of times that we're able to prevent crime, where you see somebody on a street corner present a gun to a friend, for example, flash it to them, put it back in their belt under their jacket. We have cases like that, or where you are seeing people case out a joint, or seeing people engage in the narcotics trade. All of these things are helping us not only to prevent crime, to respond to crime, but it's also helping us in prosecutions. So we have shown some dramatic video to the media about apprehending people who have been involved in crime or preventing people who are carrying illegal weapons. So I'm very confident. And the other thing I noticed, which is a good thing, although some people think you're just displacing crime, is a lot of the very high crime areas where we put up cameras, the drug dealers have just gone away. So I got some residents that came up to me and just said they were so appreciative that their neighborhood, which used to be plagued by drug dealing, is now a lot clearer and cleaner. And the cameras really help with that. That combined with effective law enforcement presence and enforcement can actually eradicate the problem or drive it very underneath, that it doesn't cause the kind of public hazards that narcotics trade often does.
Yeah. In San Francisco, they placed some cameras. I don't think they were the same kinds of cameras near UC Berkeley. And reportedly, there was a big decrease in homicides where the cameras were, but a spike right outside of the range. Have you seen anything like that where you're seeing crime move or it's sort of just moving it to somewhere else, and which would be a bad thing?
Well, we're not, in the sense that we're enjoying an overall, all over the city, precinct by precinct, reduction in murders and shootings at an astounding level. So, you know, people told me when I first came into office that if I saw a 10% reduction in murders, that's dramatic. And not just for 1 year. They said, Mayor, in 4 years you accomplished that. What a success. And here we're having, in this year alone, a 40%, not to mention what we accomplished last year. So overall, everywhere we're seeing a reduction in crime. In some areas, you know, we're seeing it completely stop. You know, we picked our worst area in the city for the most shootings, and we took our police academy class and deployed a high level of them in that area. But look, you know, near where I live, there's a street where guys used to deal drugs on the main street. They don't hang out on that main street, but on some of the side streets, I see evidence that guys are hanging out or hear, I've heard reports of that. So they know where the cameras are, and they move a little bit. But then what the police officers are doing is responding to that by able to more strategically deploy the resources. So if you move them off certain areas, and then you can understand that you have that force multiplier. So that street's covered. Now let's move our police officers to address in another area. And that seems to really be very helpful to us.
What has been the community reaction? I suspect you're going to say very positive. Has there been anyone who's complained about, I mean, other than maybe the criminals, that's complained about privacy issues?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we were very proactive. The ACLU and the ACLU director, who's actually a friend of mine, was very negative on cameras and seemed to try to come up with some evidence that they don't work, which to us is sort of absurd because I've watched video. I've seen sat in the monitoring room and see us stop crime and get guns off the streets. But what we did is invite her and the ACLU in to help us design sort of standard operating procedures and privacy protections. And they were part of the process. So it was a good thing. In fact, the editorial that they wrote was, again, claiming cameras don't work, but they actually were complimentary that if it's going to be done, we set a good path of working with them to make sure it's done the right way. Those are usually the only complaints I hear is from people who have privacy concerns about cameras, and I respect that. But I think it's always a balancing act whenever you talk about constitutional rights, for example, between the larger issues of safety and security balanced against rights in terms of privacy or what have you. And I think that there's enough of a presumed understanding that when you step outside on a public street that you are surrendering some of the privacy rights you might have in your apartment or in church or inside other buildings. And our standard operating procedures prevent our people from looking into buildings, looking into car mm-hmm. windows. It's just something we do not do as a result of the agreements we held with the ACLU.
The devices themselves, who makes them?
I do not know the company's name offhand. And I apologize, but we can get you that information later on. And one of my staff members is maybe looking to it while I'm talking to you. But
yeah, we can follow. And also the gunshot detection system. I'd love to know.
I know the team we've contracted for that. I do know it's Shot Spotters. It's the name of the organization, and they have some dramatic testimony to the percentages of reductions that have happened since before and after that technology is put in place. And again, the power of the technology is not just to respond to an immediate gunshot going off, but it's also the deterrence that people begin to realize that if I do shoot off a gun, there'll be people on me in seconds.
So you can tell, this device can tell if a gunshot was fired, roughly where it's coming from, up to a mile or two radius, is that right?
No, not even roughly. Down to a less than a foot.
Oh, no, I didn't mean how accurate it can detect, but like how far away does it sort of detect the gunshot?
The gun within the catchment area, which again is at 7 to 8 square miles, anywhere within that zone where 80% of our city's shootings have occurred in the past, we're going to know exactly where you are.
So it's probably triangulating on it, is that right?
I imagine so, yeah. That's
and it can tell the caliber of the gun as well, the type of gun?
Oh, no. They can just distinguish between a car backfiring, if the cars still do backfire.
I read an article that said it could possibly tell the caliber, but maybe that was incorrect. So, okay, but it can
but
tell
maybe that's
in a
correct.
Car.
I don't know. All I've been told in the various interviews we did with the different firms was it can tell you exactly where it is and distinguish between a firecracker and a gun and the like.
So when that so a gunshot goes off within this 8-square-mile area, ShotSpotter detects it. The cameras can zoom in on that area. Police know about it immediately. They don't have to wait for phone calls to come in on 911, and they can get there obviously significantly faster. And I mean, are you seeing, because of that, arrests are made that maybe wouldn't be made otherwise? Are you seeing you're getting stuff on footage that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten?
We're not going live with it until next month, so I can't give you the kind of feedback yet.
So the ShotSpotter technology hasn't gone live yet?
No, it'll go live next month.
Okay, great. Well, I'd love to check back in with you and see how it and how that happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out myself, and I'd be happy to share with you our results.
So have you had other cities contact you to just to see how you're doing things, and are you seeing a lot of interest from other cities?
Definitely. Right now, we're the results we're getting are people are taking notice, and my police director especially is being reached out to by a lot of other law enforcement personnel. As I now travel about, I have different mayors who sort of are hearing about our success and asking me about some of our tactics. And that's really our hope here in Newark. It's not just in law enforcement, but in a lot of different areas, to incubate ideas, to innovate upon approaches, and to be able to create things that can be exported to other places. We're all in the same trench, so to speak. We're all fighting the same battle. The uniqueness of the drug war or the uniqueness of gang violence is not that different depending on where you're going. And the strategies that we cultivate to deal with everything from prisoner reentry to youth empowerment to gang reduction, we hope to be a source to the nation of a lot of successful ideas.
You've raised the most current information I have is that you've raised $2 million of the $3.2 million you're looking for to purchase everything you need for the network. Is that correct, or are you above that now?
I'm not sure exactly where we are in the fundraising. I know we have enough now to go live with the network, so it may already all been raised. The challenge we have is seeing the success of the cameras. Seeing the success of the gun and the hopeful success of the gunshot detection makes us want to expand the network as well as fill in areas, especially with cameras, that can be filled in. And this is a great thing for me to communicate to people. I mean, if you buy one camera or 10 cameras, you're literally saving lives, and we have a lot of evidence that that's the case. It's one of the best ways as an American, in my opinion, to protect our nation. So we're hoping that we can find more philanthropists that are willing to make this strategic investment with us, and so that we are going to have the most exciting story to tell in Newark, and evidence, objective evidence, that such combination of techniques and strategies really work and make a difference.
So we'll link to the page where people can get more information on Community Eye and make a donation of any size via MasterCard or mailing or Visa or mailing it in.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Do you see? I guess here's one last question, and this is a little bit off topic, but with this, the cameras live streaming, and it's in a closed circuit in the sense that only the police department sees in, and it looks like you dump most of the data after 30 days. I assume you obviously keep stuff that'll be used as evidence. Do you ever see, people I think are getting more and more used to understanding that they might be on video camera if they're out in public. Do you ever see this data being available to the public, live streamed on the internet, put onto them? There's Google Maps, and which has sort of static data. They take pictures all over the country and all over the world. Do you ever see this being available to the public, or is that something the ACLU is strongly advising against? What are your feelings on that?
I actually think it would be a positive thing. And I've just only begun exploring about our ability to give these live feeds to certain areas to make them available to the public or in a limited capacity. I think it could be very helpful, or at least could be a good experiment to see by getting even more eyes on the streets that people might be able to see things. So it's something we want to explore, but frankly, we really do have to work with our partners in many ways, the ACLU. I think we need to vet it in many ways, but I want to explore what we could do about giving people, in many ways, even just cameras that pick up traffic, knowing how busy it is in the downtown could be very helpful.
Right.
So we have a very strong current of transparency in the city right now that we're trying to move the city to be much more open, and this is something definitely that I want to explore.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate your interest in this.
Are you who are you voting for this year?
Voting for, campaigning for, flying around the country already for primaries, pumping for Obama.
You think he's going to win?
I do now. I'm actually beyond the point of certainty.
Yeah, that's who I'm voting for. I think most of Silicon Valley is voting for him as well. So good luck. Good luck with helping him on the campaign as well.
California and New Jersey are not the swing states where you and I need to get active.
That's right. I think California is probably pretty locked up for him, but you know, he still has my vote. And thank you very much for your time, and good luck with this. And I'd love to check back in with you after the new system, which monitors gunshots, is in place, and you have some data behind you. I'd love to understand from you or somebody on your staff how that's working out.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bless you. Hope to talk to you again. Bye-bye.